What's up, fuck faces? This is the Kind of Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Any of you motherfuckers move, I'm going to execute every last motherfucking one of you, right, Tim?
I like it. I like it. Yeah, Tim, what do you think? That's Forbes, 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Getty's.
I'm loving the energy. I'm loving it. Starting off with the profanity.
Yeah.
Where are we going to end?
There's a lot of times that I've heard priests start listening to this show. They hear, oh, Kind of Funny podcast. I bet it'll be kind of funny, and it'll get my mind off the weight of the world, my congregation, my flock. And then they started off, and we get in here, and all of a sudden, Nick's talking about dildo arms, Andy's over there, no shirt, you're doing spinneroonies, and you know, there's got to be a line. There needs to be a line in the sand so fuck faces know what they're getting. Nick Scarpino, kindoffunny.com. Raise your hand if you want to be part of the show, Andy.
Just a question from the press pit here at kindoffunny.com, Nick Greg. What's a spinneroonie, and could you show me what that looks like?
And I will default to the one and only Tim Getty, who has a WWE Network subscription and a lot of room. Go ahead and show him a spinneroonie.
It is Booker T's signature move, Nick, where he kind of break dances. He does this thing with his hand. And then he like gets down on his back and spins around and shit. I can't
Like Eddie
I've seen Andy do it though.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cooler than I thought it was. It's like Eddie Gordo, but on his if he was like on his back.
Oh, you know. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Nick. And I don't mean to come in here and tell you how to run your sport, your amateur profession. I do think the MMAs, the UFCs, just when you go do your Taekwondo, I think it would be more interesting. If you had somebody who had some flair, you know what I mean, that did this kind of spinneroonie move in there. And here's the thing, I've seen the things on the Reddit, right, where the guys act like they're about to start fighting, and then they all fuck with Dana White. Dana White's like, I thought I was about to pop off, you know, like cool. They turn out their friends, and they gave flowers to each other that one time they were friends. All I'm asking is that they have a little conversation about it. And like, hey, man, if we make it to round three, right, when they go ding, 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 and we come back out at it, what if we just both do a little move? Like, you know what I mean? Or I'll do a move. We do some wrestling stuff. Like, I'll just give you a chop, and you go down, you sell, and then we get up, and then we really fight, you know?
Well, to address a couple of things there, Greg, one, I think that would be highly illegal. Because this is a sport that people bet on, and for them to do that, that would technically be fixing
the fight. I'm not saying it actually influences the match. It just makes it spicier. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. But two, I think the reason they don't add the flair is because the UFC is actually so exciting to watch. You don't need all that additional stuff
to be bored for
3 hours and then have Cool Greg make you carry a chair for 2 hours like it's your fucking cross, like you're Jesus of Nazareth and you're carrying your cross.
We got the priests back. The priests are back.
They
got rehooked. They're like, you know what? He called me fuckface twice, but... I'm here.
You mentioned our Lord and Savior.
That's how he's got to be. In rounding out the quartet, he is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe-trotting, head-shotting nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
California reports first human plague case in 5 years.
Yeah, vaccinate your kids.
Where was it at, Andy? Where was it at?
Lake Tahoe.
Yep. It's all those fucking Snowbike Mike spreading the plague around with his little penis.
Spread the plague.
With his penis?
What? That. Do you say little penis?
I don't know how the plague is spread. That's too far.
I don't think Nick's ever apologized that quickly.
You know what's bad.
He wasn't done talking.
He immediately pulls the ejector seat. Like, yeah,
that was an inappropriate comment, Mikey. I know. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Let's just move on.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, usually four best friends gather on this table, coming to talk about whatever's going on in their lives and bullshit with their friends. And then sometimes on Slack, their wife says, "You're being way too loud. Close the windows," because we live in a neighborhood and you can't be yelling fuck faces and talking about anything in the windows. I know. So it's going to get really gross in here for me, but that's how it is. You can catch that every week, of course, on all sorts of places. We'd prefer it if you went to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get the show ad-free, you can get it with the exclusive post show, and you can be part of the show like so many of you are. Of course, you could also be watching us live, just like Tim Keen is, Demetrius Newell is, Dan Karagi is. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, no big deal. You can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe. Literally, the words are out of his mouth. He's like, nope. He checks out the canopy.
Because there was so many things wrong with that, what I said. First, I was like, I don't know why you're bringing Mike's phallus into this at all. And why did you have to put the descriptor Little on that? You don't know anything about him. That's just inappropriate and totally wrong. So, Mike, I apologize if you're watching this. And I apologize to everyone out there heartfeltly. Bad joke. Came out wrong.
No, well, no. For some reason, I meant we're out here working without a net.
For some reason, I thought I was going to say spreading around with his mouth. And then for whatever reason, just the word.
I've been there. I've tiny been little penis. We don't need to do it. Tiny, we don't need it.
Yeah. Just the world's smallest penis.
God damn it.
And we come from an hour doubling down.
Would you like me to read the details on this story?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure.
The case was confirmed August 17th in a resident South Lake Tahoe. According to the statement from the El Dorado County Department of Health and Human Services, the individual is described as an avid walker who may have been bitten by an infected flea.
What?
Yeah.
A flea is given the plague now?
We're all good.
Greg, where are fleas on your list?
That's what gave it the plague back then, too, right? It was the fleas?
Yeah,
the
rats. You think of the rats. Yeah.
They were on the boats.
On my list, I'm not really free. I'm sorry, Andy, I have the floor.
Go ahead.
No apology. Okay. No, Tim, they're not high on the list in terms of what I'm afraid of. I've dealt with fleas before. You know what I mean? Like, I don't... Yeah. I you're an adult now. You're a much different man than when I was a boy. Ones. What?
Fleas and ticks aren't the same?
No, they're very different. No. Well, apparently the flea can give you the plague, apparently. So that's pretty scary. But ticks...
I think they got a similar vibe. They can bite you and they can latch on and give you a disease of some sort.
The flea doesn't really latch on. It lives in your hair kind of like a lice. The tick is going to burrow into your skin.
A lice is different from a flea?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're all in the same family.
Fleas
like
can
if
fly.
It was...
Ticks cannot.
No, fleas ticks can jump. Walk. Fleas can jump real high.
Lice can jump also.
Which one's skateboard?
Well, you know, the flea circus. That was a thing growing up.
Gotcha. So the plague is caused by bacteria called Yersinia pestis, and the disease perhaps best known for causing the Black Death in Europe in the 1300s. The infection still occurs today, although it's relatively rare and usually treatable with common antibiotics. Okay, so we're safe, right?
We're good. Yeah.
You think unless they have a cure for it, Andy? Like, remember when your tooth fell out of your face? You didn't even go. That's what had to make you go to the doctor. Like, you know, you're not like the most. I'm going to go to the doctor for no reason.
You're right.
Let me Google plague symptoms, and we'll see if any of us have them.
If I have the plague, I'll probably just try to like munch down a bunch of vitamin C.
Yeah, get that emergency.
Yeah.
So the plague. Common symptoms for the plague are fever and chills, extreme weakness, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and vomiting. Bleeding from your mouth, nose, or rectum, or under your skin, Jesus, and then shock. It just says shock.
Damn. I don't like that at all.
Blackening isn't and it weird? Tissue, like gangrene in your extremities, most commonly your fingers, toes, and nose. A lot of these things I think we all wouldn't even notice until it was too late.
Too late.
Given the current circumstances of our shelter in places.
Like fever but that's the thing, though, is like because of the shelter in place, like, I think this is the longest I've been not sick.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because I'm just not being around shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, haven't had any type of cold or anything.
There's something to be said for living like a hermit and never seeing another human being ever again.
Sure. And washing your hands like intensely.
I totally agree. I think I brought that up a couple weeks ago where I always feel like I'm due. Like, the longer I go without it, the sooner I know it's coming.
But your exposure is so low. You know what I mean? Well, you're just going to CVS.
Now, I'm washing my hands all the time. I've always got Germex. I'm always, you know, brushing my teeth and washing my hair, too. Got to wash your hair, Greg. Got to wash your hair. But I do worry that that I try to keep my room really, really cold. And I've woken up sometimes with the sore throat when the fans kind of hit
you're
my
dry. Face. Yeah, you're dry now.
And I go, uh-oh. Like, something's coming, Greggy. Mm-hmm. Something's coming.
But it didn't happens. Come.
No, okay. It never happens. But I always
to be fair, if one of your fingers falls off, you should probably go to the... Oh, God, are you calling Snowbike Mike? Who are you calling?
He's calling the reasons his you think friend Poe, who's a doctor.
Okay.
Greg Miller, what up?
Snowbike Mike from the X-Cast. You're on the Kind of Funny podcast. How are you?
Damn it, I knew you were calling
always
him.
Always wonderful. Thank you for calling me, Greg. What podcast is this and why am I on it?
You're on the Kind of Funny podcast, and I have bad news. I'm not sure if you're aware, and you might need to sit down.
Let me find a seat.
Thank you. Hold on. We'll
why
wait.
Are you? Why are you making this worse?
All right, lay it on me.
The plague has come to Lake Tahoe. Are you aware that there is a confirmed case of the plague the plague in Lake Tahoe.
Also, tell them about the dick thing.
I was unaware of the plague hitting Tahoe. I know all about COVID-19. Now you tell me there's a plague.
No, there's one fucking flea apparently out there biting people and giving them the plague. And this is Andy just broke the news to us and like at the top of the podcast. So we had to call you and be like, wait a second, something's going on here.
You know, that's a great question, Greg Miller. I got to flip back to you. In all of your years playing your favorite zombie games, your State of Decays, your Resident Evils, your Dead Risings, what am I going to do if some jabroni tries to come up and bite me? What do I got to do, Greg?
You want to keep an arm's length away from him and have some kind of melee weapon to hit him in the head with.
Melee weapon, arm's length away. Should I tape pillows onto my arms when I go out to the grocery store?
Yes,
today?
That's always. Not it. Well, not today. I'm more. Here's what you need to do right now. All right, I need to make sure the Splash Sisters have been brought up on their vaccinations. Are they on the interceptor? Are they, what are they? Do they have a good flea antic regimen? Are they okay?
Interceptor.
Heck yeah, we're locked in on that heartworm that cost me way too much money, sure. And we're all caught up today. We're locked in.
Okay, just making sure because that's the primary. They of course Andy's story here glossed over a very terrifying fact for myself and my wife that it sounded like this was a hiker was out there, got bit by a flea with the bubonic plague or whatever, so I gotta worry about that too. But I also know that fleas they tend to come in on the dog, so I just want to make sure. Hold on, Andy's got something to say.
Tell Mike the Truckee River Corridor.
The Truckee River Corridor, we want you to stay away from the Truckee River Corridor. Is that possible?
I'll write it down. All right, Truckee River Corridor, try to avoid it, or possibly go there for something incredible.
Exactly. Just don't go down there. All right. You need to be safe. We need you. The X-Cast needs you for at least one more week.
One more week, Greg. Right. Really, you know it.
Then you can go down to Truckee and get hyphy drunk. I don't care. Do whatever you do.
You're the best. I'm getting hella drunk on the Truckee River.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk to you later.
See you.
Bye.
Oh, Greg Miller just dropped hyphy drunk.
I don't know if you know this. I know.
I was gonna say I love the idea of Greg saying that there's some rogue tick out there. There's a rogue flea, and I just picture this flea like on the run. Maybe this was an accident, didn't mean to do it, and like his family members contact him and like letting him stay in his house. It's like, I just love the idea of a criminal flea on the run.
To me, I picture him more as like a small flea terrorist cell that's like it's gone rogue from the other one, and it's out there just going against the grain.
I think of it as like an infected zombie kind of thing. It's got like the green lines coming off it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's signifying something's wrong with it, that it's not in its right mind. It's kind of got the sickly raccoon vibe to it, you know?
Well, that's the thing would that be the case for a flea?
No, the green lines coming off things are usually just a cartoon or video game thing. That doesn't really happen in real life, sadly.
Well, any type of like would it look different than your average
flea? Oh, no, I can't imagine that at all. No.
You see them all in a lineup. Like, we're not going to be able to catch this guy.
No. If you come in, you don't know if that's the flea from the Truckee River Valley or if it's some flea from the big city. You know, you can't tell the difference.
If you want, Kevin will do a test, Tim, where he brings fleas over to your house. You can see if you can discern which one has the plague.
Kevin's like, one of these fleas has the plague. Which one do you think it is, Tim?
Kevin, if I needed you to get me fleas, do you think you can get me them in an hour?
I definitely don't think you should even do that.
In an hour? No, I think minimum three.
What would be your strategy?
Find a animal that I know has fleas. And like that's the tricky thing, because like back in the day, oh man, Forrest, I get you as many goddamn fleas as you want in half an hour, Tim. Mm-hmm. But with Forrest gone now,
they're all sheltering in place.
Yeah, I don't know.
Forests are gone now.
With Forrest, my cat named Forrest.
Like, did not understand that. Like thought Gump. You were just going into the forest, Kevin.
No, sorry, I apologize. I had a cat that was an indoor outdoor cat that would go out and get fleas. We'd give him an advantage, Orniest but it only all it did was masturbate. It was.
Sure. That's one does.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You guys are taking it seriously. Like, all it would do is sit on a lambskin rug, just
I get it, man.
Going
just
at
stroke it.
Stroke it. Who can relate?
So there's a sign that they on this other website. So I just googled flea plague, and USA Today brings up an article saying like, they're sort of like reiterating the same story. But they have a signposting that was posted up from 2016, back the last time this happened in Lake Tahoe. So Lake Tahoe, apparently a hotbed for the plague. Fuck. And it says you can get the plague by the biting of an infected flea, touching or holding an infected rodent, or being around a pet cat infected with the plague. And chipmunks, ground squirrels, and other wild rodents have been found infected with the plague. So these little critters are out there, man. And they're all
Here's the thing, we don't know where it stops. I get it. It's the lake. Lakes are always the lowest common denominator for these type of things. Like, I feel like the lakes and that type of stagnant water is always the source of these things going wrong.
I don't think fleas. I always think mosquitoes when I think of lakes. I always think that you're going to, you know, you're still water around. You're going to worry about mosquitoes, which
and that's where a lot of viruses come from.
Is the lake stagnant? Like, I think that there's
not particularly
scary. No, not all lakes.
There's like a current moving
thing. I mean, more importantly, like the bubonic plague was an England thing, right? Are you counting the ocean as a lake? Like, there's a lot of lakes.
This is a big lake.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, they do have a lot of puddles in England. A lot of puddles in England, I've noticed. It's a very puddly country.
What's the size? At what size do they say, you know what, this pond is a lake now?
Ooh, that's a great question.
At what point does a puddle become a pond?
Yeah. No.
Well, that's different.
No.
What do you mean no?
No one, that doesn't happen. Puddles go away. All right. You're not like slowly surveying this puddle and you're like, it's a fucking pond now.
But I mean, at some point,
it's like on the sidewalk right now.
If it gets big enough, it won't go away.
I think the second life starts forming in it, you can be like, that's a pond now. That's a small pond.
Both lakes and ponds, if
if you look down at a puddle and it's got one fish swimming around in it, that's questionable. If it's
You go back to the fact, like, we have, I'm ballparking here, 200,000 park rangers in America right now? And this is what we got. Both lakes and ponds are standing or slow-moving bodies of water. There are no official or scientific differences between lakes and ponds. Lakes are larger than ponds, but the size is relative. What would be considered a pond in one region might be considered a lake in another. So, like, get it together. Like, we need half the park rangers. We need that. That's what lakescientist.com is where I'm getting that. Lakescientist.com.
This is the worst news I've heard all quarantine.
I feel like they got to get this shit together. The deciding factor for me between a lake and a pond is, can you jet ski on it? And, like, enjoy it. Not like I can put a jet ski in a pond and fire it up, but I'm on the other side. I'm telling you, can you shred on a pond? And in that case, it's a lake, in my opinion.
I feel like you can't swim in a pond. Like, it's weird if you're swimming in a pond.
I think it's frowned upon, but I think you can do whatever you want.
Kevin. You can physically do it. I'm saying that if you're in a pond swimming, people would be like, That man's doing something that's not
right.
That's
actually a very good point. You know what I mean? I think that is a defining feature.
All right.
But you can take a boat out of a pond.
Can you?
You can float in a pond, right? You can float in a pond.
Okay, because you can do those little... that Mountain Lake Park. That's a lake.
See, I think you just don't want to swim in a pond because it's all gross and stagnant and fungusy. Yeah.
We're coming up with the ground rules right here, right now.
We're defining
all these fucking park rangers, all these scientists, they've been sitting on their ass, not doing shit for the last goddamn 100 years. We're going to decide what, you know, differentiates a lake from a pond. Number one, tire swing. Does it have a tire swing?
If pond. It does, that would be a lake. Okay. I like that. Wait, what? I said lake.
I thought that was a pond. A tire swing's a lake thing.
I think you're right.
We've seen a lot of growth from Nick this episode. He can admit when he's wrong.
I legitimately apologize. Here's my question. I need to call some of Mike and apologize for that. I feel like that was just disrespectful. And I don't know. What do
Here's
you guys
the
say?
Thing. Here's so like Mike, he gets it. He understands we're out here podcasting. You know, it's jazz. You don't know what you're going to get. I think Andy's going to play a C minor. No, he plays an A minus. And then here we are and we're doing his show. I think all you owe him is a call or text afterwards to give him the heads up.
So that's what you were going to do.
And he gets 600 questions about stuff. He's not like, what the fuck is going on?
I also appreciate, Nick, if you were to call him right now, what would you say?
I would say, hey, I made a joke about you today that I know you won't care about, but there just is a heads up that I respect you and that I like you and you're a cool dude. And that's it. That's what I would say to him.
Yeah, let's not do that. I don't think that's going to go over too well. Like, he'll accept the apology, but I feel like he'll have questions.
No. But here's the thing, Tim. I think... if Nick does that, he's sort of setting the bar really, really high. And Mike's going to be like, what could you have possibly said about me? Like, this could be the most offensive thing ever. And then he hears, oh, it's a tiny pee-pee joke. It's like, whatever. Like, I think that softens the blow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, start high.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they go low.
Exactly. Go low. My brother got into like a car accident one time, and he came home and he was like, "Mom, Dad, I need to talk to you." And they were like, "Oh my God, what the fuck is happening?" Yeah. And he was like, "I got into a little fender bender." And they're like, "God, I thought you were going to say that your girlfriend was pregnant." Like,
yeah.
So they were like, "Who cares?
You can't fix."
Yeah.
See, I'm.
Uh oh. Craig's gone.
Uh-oh.
I'm here. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Am I still here? No? Hello?
Yeah, you're here now.
Hello?
You're back.
I've been called off doing that because that's how I usually start things with Jen. Where I'll come back with complete nonsense, right? I don't even know. They're selling ice cream at half price or they doubled the price or whatever. And I'll be like, "Hey, listen, I got some bad news." And she would take it very seriously for a long time. And then it would always be not bad news or serious news at all. And she got mad and made me stop doing that because she didn't like the news being presented.
You're the boy who cried wolf. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, then it's going to work to my favor one day when I'm like, "Guess what? Portillo's gone." You know what I mean? Like, you know, when he's just ran away.
Well, how is that in your favor?
And then she's not as like devastated. You know what I mean? Because she's like, "You've learned. You actually used this correctly." You know what I mean? Like, you said you had bad news, and you actually had bad news.
I don't know if that's
so much character growth this episode.
That's growth. Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Andy, what are you going to grow? What are you going to learn?
Yeah, what are you going to grow, Andy?
I don't know, man. What do you guys recommend? Maybe I should learn how to cook.
Just the cook.
I've been wanting to learn how to cook, guys, but I'm just so lazy, dude. I'm so freaking lazy. And it's just kind of, I had a great dinner last night. Great, phenomenal dinner last night
at God the Miller's. Damn you. Greg, no. We're not going with that. We're not running with Nick horribly offends Snowbike Mike for the headline of this podcast.
It's in the thumbnails. It's
I knew the second I brought it up a second time, Greg was like, light bulb.
First Nick off,
horribly offends Snowbike Mike. Kevin committed a serious crime. Tim may or may not golden. Sell drugs out of the back of his Prius.
I would like, we're in the circle here, the circle of trust and growth here. I'd like to point out that I subverted your expectations, Nick. I didn't call Snowbike Mike to bring up the thing that as soon as you said it, I knew you were horribly embarrassed by. Yeah. I wasn't going to sell you out on that. This thumbnail joke, it was just a joke for us, but you wanted to read it on air. So there you go.
There it
All
is.
Right.
Well, back we got to Andy. Talk about it at least. I think it's totally fun. And now it's official. And now I'm going to make that the thumbnail.
Great.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Nick can't take it. He doesn't want that.
I can take it. I can take whatever you guys have to dish out because mostly I don't see it. So there's
that. That is true, too. What's happening?
About something you never Andy seen. Just Andy saw a ghost.
You find a flea?
I saw like something knocking on my table.
Nice. Is it a flea?
Does it have the plague? Does it have the green stink lines coming off
it? It's a 2-pound hit flea. It's fucking
see, that's my thing about fleas. Like, and you know me. Like, I was watching cursed films on Shudder and stuff. And like, so you're talking about like, you know, demons and shit. I'm like, I'm not gonna call
what
it on
is,
there.
What is Shudder? What is?
I'll get to that in a sec. Well, Shudder is it's a streaming service that's just horror movies and horror documentaries and horror. It's just horror. You wouldn't like it,
okay?
Because you're scared. You don't want to be scared.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
You don't like being scared.
No, I can watch it.
You can't watch scary movies. You said you can't. Because if you want to, if you can, then guess what? You're in Paranormal Activity and Review. Changed, it's Greg. Happening.
He's not a scaredy boy anymore.
Nah, man.
A grown little man.
Like, I don't call it a thunder.
It's just imagery. It's just certain imagery really freaks me out. Like, I see the things at night.
What?
Like, it? The clown?
Like just scary stuff. Like, when I think of, like, the things I like dealing with least in horror, mm-hmm. I would say... like long, weird, disfigured bodies, you know, like that kind of like
Slenderman,
like Slenderman, yeah,
yeah, stuff like that, like weird, weird face stuff that's like haunting, like, you know, like where some people will troll you and they'll put a very scary image on Twitter, and I'm scrolling, I'm like, oh God, like, and then I see that thing at night.
I just think that, like, I think that, like, most modern horror movies, though, they're just not very scary because they always rely on shit like that where they're like, we're gonna start, and then it moves fast, and you're like, I know it's gonna move fast, you're gonna move fast and move fast, and it always has the sound cue, you know, I don't know, it's like, oh,
my favorite thing to happen this podcast so far, and of which there's been many hits, this has been a great one, but nothing. Andy starts talking about being afraid, not being afraid, whatever, just I want everyone to rewind, just look at Nick trying to take in this information and try to deal with it. I saw it, the gears turning, and I saw you see it in your eyes where you're just like, I'm just gonna let this one go.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'll be honest with you right now, Tim, because we're in the circle of trust. I was using the entire time that Andy was talking to form a letter of apology, a formal letter of apology. Like Mike,
we've lost you this entire.
I'm gone. I'm shocked. I'm embarrassed.
He won't care. You don't care at all.
I know he's not going to care.
He's not going to care even a little bit.
But the thing is this, really respect him so much that
we can call him up on Discord. Get him in the call. You can just do it here publicly.
I hate when I make jokes that aren't at my expense like that. That's the one thing I don't like. I never try to, unless it's someone that I'm really close to, like Kevin and I, or Greg and I, or Tim and I, or Andy and I, or Joey and I, or Barrett and I, we can get personal like that. But with Snowbike, he's just on the outskirts, and he hasn't been tainted yet by being in the inner circle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, now you've just doubly offended him, right? Because the joke was one thing and not personal. Now you just say he's not in the inner circle. You know what I mean? The guy makes a great fucking podcast for you, and you're just an ungrateful boss to him. That's upsetting.
Yeah. I don't even. That's fair. I was trying to figure out a way to bring Blessing in my relationship or my estranged relationship with Blessing into this, but I can't figure out how to do it.
I won't lie. You went through the inner circle people so fast. I was like, I know he left someone out. Who did he leave out? I couldn't get there.
Blessing he left Blessing out, but Blessing just doesn't respect Nick.
It's not that. No. It's not that Blessing doesn't respect me. I'm sure Blessing, if he gave it thought, would or may not. I think I just don't register to Blessing at all. Does that make sense?
It's like when you go to the
local market to get something to eat, and there's just this whole section that you're just like, I never even go into that section.
Nick, I'm afraid you're doubling down in a way you don't want to. You know what I mean?
Just
stop. Yeah, with everything. Just stop. Back up slowly. It's fine.
No, I'm fine. I'm in good territory right now.
Just back. Wait, Blessing's just a part of Witta you don't like.
Andy, what was your point about Witta?
That I felt like that with Witta, and me and Nick sort of felt similar about Witta, where like Witta would walk in and we'd just be like, he just doesn't this care about guy. Us.
Yeah. That's just Gary's demeanor.
That was accurate, though.
In general.
Yeah.
It's accurate. Oh, man.
We would try to make him laugh, and like he would kind of peer in to watch us do KFF, and I was like, he just, like, nothing we do is cool to Witta, and that's fine. Like, I've accepted that. You know,
it's okay. It just makes us want to try harder.
Yeah. Andy, do you remember how many times we've been like, oh, Gary, you should stay and hang out, watch the show, and he'd be like, nah.
Yeah,
he's always got big plans. Tesla. You know, he's got to drive that Tesla somewhere. He's got to go write a movie, a book, comic book.
I'll never forget how cool I felt, though, the one time that Gary just stopped by the studio, and I was like, oh, Gary just came by to say what's up, and then he walked in, grabbed a crate of LaCroix, and just walked out without saying anything to us. And I was like, baller.
Respect.
Power move right there.
Gary, Gary didn't have my number, and he DM'd me yesterday. He was like, hey, what's your number? Gave it to him. He texted me and just said, Witta reporting in. And I felt really cool. Because Gary Witta is really fucking cool.
I think Greg gave him my number.
I did, yeah. He was like, oh, I'm doing this Fall Guy show. We need people on it. I'm like, get Andy. Get Blessing.
Yeah. Because obviously I was supposed to be on Animal Talking several times. Was approached several times to be on Animal Talking.
Did you ever book a date, or was it just, hey, you should come on, or you were saying, hey, I should come on?
Somebody said,
isn't
hey,
how annoying
Andy.
He is about it, where he's just constantly like, hey, be on my show, and it's like, dude, come on, man, I don't play.
He does it. He asked Kevin to be on Animal Talking literally every Widow Wednesday.
Yeah, he asked me to be on it, and then I said, sure, and he said, this coming Wednesday. I said, all right, great. And this is around the time that Reggie Fils-Aimé started kind of popping up in the conversation.
Yeah,
and then other bigger celebrities started getting brought up in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then by this point, I was like, I've got hope because Joey Noel was on it last week.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then from then on, it was just like, here comes fucking J.J. Abrams and Greta Grunberg. And
Greta Grunberg was a great episode.
All these celebrities are just popping in. And I just feel like, all right, my time has passed and I'm kind of disappointed, but I absolutely understand. I don't belong in the show anymore. Because now we got Maisie Williams and fucking, you know, Ashley Johnson and Captain Marvel. What's her name? Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
It's crazy. Like, good for Gary. I'm very jealous. I'm not happy with it at all. You know, I'm sick and tired of all the, you know, sort of his reputation being built and all this stuff. But yeah. I respect the hell out of him. But he did ask me yesterday to be on Talk Guys. The Fall Guys talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. Proud of you, man.
Thank you.
When are you going to be on that one, or is it another empty promise from him that'll get stolen away when the Fall Guy, like when he gets what, Tim the Tatman on there? You know,
yeah, it's going to be Tim the Tatman, and it's going to be fucking Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And
yeah. Yes, exactly.
Did he tell you, though, that we're in the bottom tier, though, Andy? Like, he has the guests for the show, but he's trying to get 60 of us, and we're going to have to compete.
Oh, really?
Gets the crown, gets to be on the show.
I mean, amen.
It sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Look how many crowns I got, dude. How many you got?
27. I hate you so much. I saw you post that shit today. Yeah. Bothers me. Hurts me in my core.
Have you ever spent one of the crowns?
No. So I have 25 then. I have 25.
Get that. Seems like the number keeps switching. Seems like
because you get the crown. You get the crowns as like a gift whenever you win.
That's true too. Yeah, that's accurate.
I barely play it. That's one really impressive thing about me.
Yeah.
With the amount of time I put in, I've won so much.
Housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, aka Momo, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Blackjack. Lee Polero, Steve, I Have the Powers, Kieran O'Donnell. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN, Full Sail, and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with a question from patreon.com/kindafunny, and it goes, Robbie Rob. That's the person who wrote it into Robbie Rob.
Thank you, Robbie Rob.
Hello, everyone. Here is my question, split into three parts. Number one, do you want to hear all three of them, or do you want to answer them one by one?
You know the questions. What's a better process for us to do that for maximum hilarity?
I'll forget parts one and two. Well,
let's just do them one by one then, okay? So question split into three parts. Number one, do you believe kids should be at a wedding? Believe children should be at a wedding? Nick immediately shakes his head no. Why is that?
100% no. No child should ever go to a party, period. If you want your wedding to be fun, keep children away from them. Because here's what I've noticed about my friends when their kids are there.
Sure.
They're not. So every single time I hang out with my friends that have kids, I get one sentence out, and then it's always like, Skylar, no balls. Put that down. Sorry, what were you saying? I'm serious. Daddy's serious. He never listens to me. Mm-mm. That's every single conversation I've ever had with my friends that have kids. And I love them, but the only time you can really connect with them or get them to pay attention to anything is when they get a babysitter and they come out with you. So my personal opinion is no kids, no pets at weddings.
I would say yes. I would say yes, because some of my most favorite times being a kid were at weddings with my cousins.
That's my thing, is that I think the wedding, especially as you get older, right? When we were like 20 something and people were getting married, right? Let's burn this mother down. Let's get wasted. Let's drink paint can. There's going to be a fight in the parking lot. That's how we did it in Missouri, right? Yeah. But as I've aged up and started going to weddings, then it's just the commitment.
Strap on gloves. Start getting out of each other in the park.
Dildo arms.
It's just the, hey, we're going to this thing and it's a party and you catch up a bit. But like, you know, I mean, like what? Kevin's wedding, I was wasted. I guess for Hunter and Alexis's, I was wasted too.
We didn't have kids at our I think we had maybe two kids at our wedding.
And they snuck in, right?
Well, I mean, it's just like we were going to put a no kids clause, but we figured out it's just two. And that's kind of.
That's like, what can you do?
Yeah, you know, at that point.
What would have been funny is if you told them, if you said no kids clause, but you told one of them it was cool they brought their kid.
Oh, that would have been great, Kevin.
No, they're friends. Would have been even better. Really bad.
What would have been better is like you let one of them in, and the other kid's trying to get in, and you're like, sorry. What's your name? And you're like reading the list. Like,
there's a list. I like it. In Andy's mind, Kevin's running the list at his own wedding. Yeah. I'm sorry, you can't come in.
I can't let you in. I wish I could. But
that little guy can't come in.
That little guy.
I don't mind kids at a wedding. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Everyone. Whatever. Kids are a hard no at a wedding.
They're like, hard.
You need to be so close. There needs to be an inner circle. Pro maneuver of the wedding is like they do those like get the kids. The kids come to the wedding, but they're not actually at the wedding. They're like
they get the there's kids
like a daycare center, some type of like babysitter situation, where they're being watched over.
Don't trust the staff at any of these wedding venues enough to actually take care of kids. Where it's like
it's your own staff. It's your own people. What? You get someone that you trust that's not actually invited to the wedding, but they'll feel honored that they get to do that shit.
There's
a fuck ton of people. The people on the fringe, you know?
For Nick, that would be like Blessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would trust Blessing's going to watch all our kids.
I would trust Blessing with my kids.
That is a sitcom I'd love to see. Just a one episode thing of it's Blessing trying to take care of 11 kids of various ages.
Well, for sure, I would not wish 11 children on any one human being. It's a lot. And that's the thing. Like, you know, from my own personal experience with just going to weddings where they actually say, hey, this is an adult affair. It just is a different vibe. You know, you're actually saying like, hey, I know we're putting you guys out because you have to get a babysitter. But when you come here, you get to have fun. You get to drink. You get to actually connect with us. And it's just always the same thing with
when there's children. I'm not connecting with you at all. You never connect with the bride and groom at the wedding unless you're in the wedding party.
I'm not talking about
the
I'm talking about people you're sitting at the table.
I don't even fucking care about most of those people.
You haven't seen in 13 years because someone went off to freaking Napa and I don't know, you know. They're like, I'm gonna get a house here, and like, I never.
They got the plague from a Nick. Never
getting seen. Getting too specific, Nick.
People went to Napa. That's where Nick brings more of his personal life in here. We start to learn more about him. I loved being a kid at weddings, man. It was so much fun.
Here's the distinction: you loved being a kid at a wedding. You had so much fun. For every second of fun you had, there was a me and a Tim that were just like, "Who the fuck brought this little kid?" What's he doing? You going underneath the tables? You doing that thing? Are you going to the tables and you pinch people? Are you having fun with that, Andy? You fucking pincher? Yeah.
Were you pinching people under the tables, Andy?
Oh, no. It was always like me and my group of cousins. But I guess
you're trying to go up. Like, and they're always, by the way, the kids are always, always trying to touch the fucking cake. They're always trying to touch the cake. And that gives me anxiety because I'm like, that kid's going to, there's going to be a handprint in the cake. And then the photos are ruined. We have to Photoshop that. And then the kid's gonna grab, and then Skylar, don't touch the cake. Skylar, wait. What did I say? You can have the cake after your meal. And then they end up giving the kid the cake anyway because parents have to negotiate with their kids like there's little fucking mini terrorists. And the kids always win because they don't understand logic and there's no consequences anymore.
You worked as a cameraman at weddings, right? Did you ever have to Photoshop hands out of the cake?
I was a videographer, and that technology didn't exist. Right. And if it did, I would have charged my client $2 million to digitally recreate the
dumbass kid.
I didn't know the extent of what you guys did, or what like the company. Like I didn't know.
I mean, you would. I'm obviously playing this up for the joke of the podcast, but there's times when the kids love the cake. It's a fucking cake. Of course, when you were a kid at a wedding, what was the one thing you were like? I'm gonna dominate that cake. I'm fucking that cake up.
Yeah. No,
or
know,
if they had like a chocolate fountain, you're like. I'm gonna get hopped up on high C and swim in that fucking thing a little bit.
Yeah,
later.
For me, it was just my cousins and I. Like, we would go to we would just go chill and hang out in a part of the wedding
room.
Venue that wasn't, there wasn't a lot of people at or whatever. The adults went there. It was just us being cool.
That's cool. But until your stupid cousin Chris trips and falls and rips his suit and then starts crying and then someone's in trouble for it and it's this whole fucking thing and then the adults have to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, it's when you you accidentally punch him and he gets hurt and he starts crying. And you're like, no, punch me, look, punch me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Never wants to punch you though, because it's
I hate you.
Tim, you said no. So yours is no. You're a hard no.
I'm a hard no for just like kids. Don't just get the invite. Like, I feel like if you are inviting somebody, you have to invite their significant other. And there's rules around that about depending on how big is your wedding, but also on how long have you actually known them? And how long have they been with their partner? Because I think that there's a certain level that it reaches of y'all have been together for so long, especially if it's a destination wedding. If it's a destination wedding, you get an invite and a plus one invite. If you're not able to do that, you shouldn't be inviting anybody that's part of that group. I firmly believe in that.
Oh my
Moving
God.
Past also, that with the kids, you don't get these extra kid invites for this shit.
No.
Kids cost money too. Like, kids are just as much money as the adults. So it's like, and in a lot of ways, get in the way because then they're not drinking the alcohol and it causes all these fucking problems. So fuck kids.
I guess the weddings I went to were different. When there would be kids around, the way to feed the kids would just to order five large pizzas from Pizza Hut. That's what the kids would eat. You know, it was just you get that shit.
Usually kids cost less. They have a separate menu item. They'll get a chicken nugget thing and it'll be
Kevin, cost something.
$80.
That's still taking the seat of a human being that could be appreciate the wedding and be a part of your life. You know, this
what fucking
moment.
Weddings are you going to that appreciate the wedding and all this stuff? Like, I enjoy a wedding here and there, but we definitely have all been burned out on weddings before.
Greg,
who are you connecting with such a deep spiritual level?
I've had it with you. About it. This coming from the person that the second you enter a party, you're like, well, time to leave. Just bang out. You have one old fashioned. You're like, hey man,
I feel like Greg.
I gotta go. And then he just leaves. Yeah,
sorry, I just don't want to have the same fucking conversations. I don't care what you're up to, Craig Barrett.
See, I fuck with weddings. I'm with Nick in the sense of I like the connecting with people, atmosphere of it. But that's mainly because I'm talking about my friends. The traveling and all that stuff at weddings, I hate. I hate all everything about that. Weddings. All that shit sucks. But like being at the wedding of my friends is dope. I'm with you, Greg, 100% when it's a wedding that's not my friends. When I'm just like, oh, fuck, I have to be here as a plus one. Holy shit. Like that is just like.
That's always a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Thank God G is pretty good about understanding that. And she'll go to weddings alone.
Wow.
or you take a friend of yours that knows the person. And so you can all have that. I totally understand that. But to me, like, I just everyone, if someone I know that I, you know, is a close friend of mine gets married, I enjoy it. It can be a very special thing for everyone. And I like, you know, we don't get a chance to dress up that much anymore. And it's nice to have a cocktail and hang out with your guys at night, as opposed to like, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon where Greg's barbecuing on the we're drinking IPAs and then we all go home by four. It's just a different thing. I just don't get to do it that much. So it's fun for me.
Kevin,
I like how jealous of your friends' kids you are, where you can't share attention with them. Like, no,
that's so true, dude. Kids fucking suck. And like, Nick is entirely right. You can't say no, Greg, because I guarantee you, there's not a single person that you know that has kids that isn't that exact way with you if you're actually trying to talk with them.
So the thing is, and that's the thing too. Again, kids suck. If you don't have them, if you do have them, and then like the parents develop this weird sixth sense sort of like language where they just pause the conversation, yell at each other's respective kids, and then come back to it. And I've seen that energy, but for someone who's not used to being like having to have that extra 20% of energy that you need for kids, it just, you're like, wow, this is a lot. I have to pay attention to five things right now. And you know how bad I am at paying attention to one thing.
Sure.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. But you know, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. My friends who are really, I'm really close with who have kids, I love the kids. They're great. And when I go to those environments, I go, this is what we're going to do.
Sure.
This is how I connect with these people. And I have to I just have to sort of, that's what the vibe's going to be, but it's not nearly as fun for me or engaging for me as when I go, hey, let me take you out to dinner. Can, like, you know, just you and me, we go out to dinner, have a cocktail and really, really catch up and can vent and can, you know, talk about what's going on in each other's lives. Whereas when you have the kids, it inevitably, when you have kids, it has to be about them. It's always going to be about them because they are these small, semi-smart animals that can pick things up that are sharp. So you always have to just watch out for that one moment that the thing that's sharp is in their hand. You know what I mean? Like, it's varying degrees of crazy, of like, like red alert. Do we go to yellow alerts? Like, he's got a ball, yellow alert, right? Just be aware.
Yeah.
There's a ball coming at your face at some point.
How much glass is around here that could break because of this ball?
Yeah, exactly. And then the red alert is when he just somehow finds scissors. They just somehow find them. I have scissors. And everyone's like, shit. Everyone be cool. This is a robbery.
Don't make any sudden movements.
Kevin, you're in charge of walking up slowly to him. Everyone else back away. Don't look him in the eye.
Kevin, when I get married, Paula is invited to my wedding.
That's what I like to hear.
I mean, if you're down with that, I mean, I leave her the dog. She'll probably be fine.
See, I feel like Kevin gets it. I feel like Kevin's like, Kevin, if someone invited you and said, hey, this is an adult-only affair, do you get offended?
No, 100%. Now,
you're super stoked that you don't go.
Now, if they say you can't bring Cecil, wow.
You know, that's a non-starter.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Pets are allowed. No snakes, though. No snakes.
Andy, do you want to one-up it and see if you can get – or I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm asking you, Andy, if you'll one-up it and allow Paula to be the flower girl.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's on record. You guys got to time that out.
And the ring bear.
Moose. Rimothy?
Not Rimothy.
Very small.
Really. Do you mean Moose Andy Geddes?
Moose Andres Geddes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Pamplemousse Andy Geddes. That's it.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, so we're split on question one here, which was, do you believe kids should be at a wedding? We're 50-50 here.
I want to make it real clear. I want to say this fast. I feel like the kids can be at a wedding. The wedding just needs to then be designed differently. But I think that for what a traditional wedding is, no, kids should not be invited.
For your wedding to Gia, are your kids going to be allowed?
It's a very selective thing of certain kids, yes. And other kids are getting the hard fucking pass.
Wow.
Gotcha. Would Paula be allowed?
Yes.
Okay.
He says yes.
I didn't mean to hesitate at all there.
Would Andy's fiance be allowed?
Andy's fiance? Yes.
Yeah. My wife.
But Andy's girlfriend of one month.
You're not married. Maybe
not.
Wow.
What if it's his fiance?
He doesn't even get a plus one to this wedding.
No. That's what I'm saying with the plus one thing. I feel like the plus there's a limit where it's like if it's 3 months, I'd be like, okay, I got my eye on you.
No.
If it's 6 months, maybe. I'm like, okay, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Nick, if it's a year,
if it's a year, it's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's a guarantee.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I feel like it's fucked up at a certain point.
What's your reasoning here? Are you worried about the photos getting ruined?
No, I got a reasoning. The reasoning, I mean, Tim, go ahead, and then I'll say my reasoning. And it's probably the same. We're fucking spot on these things.
Go for it, Nick. It's on
the reasoning is your friend's gonna bring this person to your most important day of your life up until this point, right?
Right.
And that person is probably there's like a 50% chance that person's never gonna see that person again. So like it's just it should be on your friend, by the way, when you get the invite to be like, I'm just going by myself. This is what's going to happen because I've only been dating this person for a couple months. And it's also very kind of like an intimate thing to bring a person you've only been dating for a couple months to all of your friends and put them into that environment. 6 months is like, are you going to be serious about this? A year is like, okay, well, if you don't shit or get off the pot soon, this person deserves to leave you.
6 months seems like a certainty.
Like, but that's the thing. And that's
6 months to a year, I think it's gray area.
Yeah, it's a gray area, but I feel like it's all contextual. At 6 months, it's a thing of there needs to be a conversation where I feel like that conversation needs to be between like us, me and you, Andy. I'd be like, how are you feeling about this girl? You know what I mean? And if you're like, yo, we're
crazy about her, man.
All I'm saying is that like, if you say no and I'm like, oh, I'm going to Tim's wedding. She's like, oh, what do you mean? Just you? And I'm like, yeah, he fucking hates you. Like, yeah, I'm starting beef.
Dude, that's a whole thing. But that to me is like where the relationships come to play, where I think that 6 months for an Andy in particular, I feel like that 6 months could go lower to probably 4.
Wow. No, so it's like I'm being let out of jail early.
Here's what I'm saying, Tim, you don't even give them that choice. You don't give them the choice. When you send Andy the invite, don't even give him the plus one choice. That's what I would do.
That causes a lot of issues.
I'm like, Andy, you're out there every night doing what you're doing. I'm not whoever the newest person or the flavor of the day is for you, Andy. You're not bringing that person to my party. I don't care how tall they are or how much they think you're amazing. Like, forget it, bro. You're not getting that person.
The context, though, is important because I'm going to deal with Andy for the rest of my life. And if Andy ends up with this girl for the rest of his life, then there's beef I'm not trying to have. So that's where it's like you got to kind of think about it. If I'm not that close to you, yeah, fuck it. Who gives a shit?
I have a friend. I'm not going to say names, but I had a friend of mine who was dating someone and had been dating them for a while and got an invite to one of our close personal friends' weddings and got a plus one and told her that he didn't get a plus one. And I was like, how?
Did she find out?
Of course. Of course she found out. Because the invites went out 6 months before the wedding or whatever it was. And we saw everyone. This was back in the day when we all used to hang out like every other weekend. And so inevitably the wedding came up and the person was like, wait, did you get invited to that? And he was like, yeah, but I didn't get a plus one. And then the next conversation, she was like, hey, no problem. I didn't get invited. Don't worry about that. And the bride-to-be was like, oh, we became a plus one.
Damn. How long have they been married now?
No, they're gone. They don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
well, yeah.
No, that was a joke. Yeah. It was going to a better place. Relationship heaven.
Not a good time.
So it's time for an ad.
It is.
Calling it right now.
Good job. But then we'll transition back to question number two. All right.
Exactly.
All right. So here's a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? Right. You don't want random passerbys looking in on you. So why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door, and that's not good. Did you know that your internet service provider like Comcast or Verizon knows every single website you visit? And what's worse is they can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who will use the data to target you. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. Of course, we've been using ExpressVPN around here. It works on everything, phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi will be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. And the best part is using ExpressVPN is easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. That's what Tim's been doing over at his house. ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless others. So if you're like us and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. Use our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Our next sponsor, well, ladies and gentlemen, it is Full Sail. Working in the film industry is an exciting and rewarding experience. If you know you want to be a part of it, but don't know where to begin, you should check out Full Sail University, where you can learn all aspects of filmmaking and cinematography, either on campus or online. Full Sail's film bachelor's degree program immerses you in the world of filmmaking from every angle. You'll gain hands-on experience while learning what it's like to work on a large-scale production from start to finish, giving you a feel for the role of each crew member and how they do it and play it, and allow you to specialize in the ones you think your strengths and interests lie. The Digital Cinematography Online Bachelor's Degree Program merges the artistic concepts of traditional filmmaking with the technical tools used in everything from documentary filmmaking to commercial production and web video, preparing you to be a jack of all trades in small crew productions. These degrees are offered in an accelerated format to get you into the field faster. With your hands-on projects, industry experience faculty, and professional equipment and sets, you'll be prepared to pursue your passion. Full Sail grads have gone on to work at some pretty incredible films and TV shows like Game of Thrones, Avengers Endgame, Joker, and The Mandalorian, just to name a few. If you want to find out more about these film programs and how to get started, visit fullsail.edu/kindoffunnycore. That's fullsail.edu/kindoffunnycore. And our final sponsor of the day is Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be and help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens after you accept the rate and proceed with the application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Why don't you free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart? See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. upstart.com/kindoffunny. All right, we're back. So again, question number one, do you believe kids should be at a wedding? We split it 50-50. All right. Mm-hmm. Hung jury on that one, as they say. Mm-hmm. Oh, Robbie Rob continues. Number two, if kids are at the wedding, is there a chance for an orgy?
with the kids?
No, I don't think so. I just think Robbie Rob, I believe, is equating. I think the whole question here is how likely an orgy is at a wedding. And zero. So he's escalating it here to number two. If kids are at the wedding, is there a chance for an orgy?
Okay,
no, this is 100%.
This is all familiar for me.
Well, yeah, Blessing's watching 11 kids. What are these parents doing? They're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I
joined the community Zoom over the weekend for like 20 minutes, and this question was posed to me.
Okay.
And I was very confused, but now it's all starting to make sense. Okay.
So what's your answer?
No.
I definitely think there's more of a chance.
More of a chance than children are there.
Yes, because I think that what happens here is that not only is there the chance that the kids are then taken away to a daycare, but more often than not, that's not the case. The kids are just there with the parents.
Yeah.
Which, to Nick's former point, the parents are distracted entirely by these kids the entire time, which means no actual connections are happening with them, which means there's more of a chance for the single people to be together. which by default, people with kids are going to lump together because the kids are playing together. So the parents have to deal with each other. There's that sixth sense thing that he's talking about. And then it all gets down to the point of all these single people at a wedding. You're never hornier than at a wedding.
It's true.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're never hornier than when you're single at a wedding.
That's my point.
Yeah. When you're married at a wedding, there's nothing sexy about anything ever.
But my point is, so if kids are there, the married people are distracted. So that means people are kind of left alone to mingle.
So are you saying the single people have the orgy?
Yeah, they have to. Married people don't have orgies. How are you talking about? That would require someone to go out after 6 p.m. We're not fucking doing that shit. None of us are.
I mean, I would say there's got to be some couples out there that are like, yeah, I want to, like, you know, maybe we're both bisexual, or I want to fool around with, I want to watch this man fuck my wife. You know?
Andy,
but I feel like those people don't have kids. For the
they
most
don't
part.
Have kids, and B, that's true, like true, Andy. True. That's like year one, year two shit. When you hit year eight, here's the most exciting thing that happens after dark.
More Nick story, year eight, more Nick personal. Story.
I get it.
You
I
go
get
to
a text,
Nick, but if visit your friend from high school.
No, I get it. Andy, you'll relate to this. I get a text 7 o'clock at night. I'm coming home from whatever I'm doing. Hey, .. Were you thinking about picking up some goldfish tonight? That's the most exciting thing that happens, and I got to be honest with you.
That sounds awesome.
My whole fucking
rock
day.
Hard.
Makes my whole day.
Like, rock hard.
Then the question, of course, Andy, I'm sure you know, is do I get one bag or two? Because do you really want just half a bag of goldfish? Is that ever enough?
No. Yeah.
Man, last night, I'll tell you what, I was running some errands. I came back at 6:30 and my wife was polishing off one of those things of goldfish.
I was like, oh, you got
goldfish. Did you? I was like, did you leave me some? And she was like, she did literally like this. No. Hard pass. You don't get any of these.
That's marriage
right there.
Only Nick. Only fucking Nick can phrase something that way.
Here's what I'm gonna say about this wedding is when you're single and there's nothing but adults there, that's when things can that's when partying can happen. But the second you put kids in there, you're just gonna see the kids and it's just a different vibe for the whole event. When kids are running around, you're just reminded of your mortality. You're reminded that you're not important anymore in life. That these kids, there's like you look at them, and you go, I'll never have as much fun as these kids are having right now.
We're the ghost of our children's futures.
We are, and because we always have to think about the future. We have to think about bank interest stuff or 401ks.
What's that APR looking like today?
Exactly. And these kids don't know what a fucking APR is. All they care about is like strategizing how to get into that. Fucking chocolate fountain, you know, they're trying
now,
to
hold
eat
on.
Everything.
The one thing I want to add to this is the part three of this question. All right. And it actually, Andy brought it up.
Question. I know what a question.
I know you do because you lived it. I know. I understand. But you said it there. You know, I want to watch this guy fuck my wife. Number three is, if there is an orgy, how many people does it take to become an orgy?
Oh, God. Kevin and I have talked about this so many times.
I'm sure you have.
I feel like six.
I say five and up.
Here's where I think once you obviously we've all heard of a threesome, right? We've read about them in Penthouse Forum and Wikipedia's. What do you call is a foursome a thing? Do you call it a foursome? Yeah, Nick Scarpino, I'm sorry.
Which Wikipedia? So just for
Wikipedia research. Threesome, you'll find it.
Just for research, okay.
Thank you. You'll find it.
I don't hear people saying I had a foursome often.
Yeah, that's my thing. I think
a foursome is just wife swapping at that point.
But what if it's not? What if it's all the same sex? What if it's three sex? What if it's not? They're not together. What if they're all just
four people?
Four people. I think.
Okay. Four. I can see that. You're right.
Because it's a threesome and then it's an orgy.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Then so here, let's go backwards.
We've talked about this on the Game Over Grady show.
Well, that show's dead, and this is a different show. Remember?
True. But like, I'm thinking.
I don't know if you see the fucking name right here. Hold on.
Technically, even two people or three people is an orgy, but. This is like the burger cheeseburger thing. Like just because that's officially the thing, fuck that. That doesn't matter. I say that it's four.
I feel like Tim's right because three people, inevitably one person has less to do. It's just a fact, right? One person's not. There's going to be two people really doing the heavy lifting. One person's just kind of sitting there being like, "This is."
I don't think that's true.
This is the worst blowjob I've ever gotten in my life. Four people, then you have something else. You're like, oh, we're here together. We're working out together. We're going to do squats and bench press and all that stuff. And then we're going to switch over to cardio, maybe a little core later. I don't know how foursomes work. to me, that's more like swinging or group sex. I think orgy. I think Caligula. I think it's got to be six to 10 people. And when you open the door, Tim, the smell hits you first, right? Mm. The smell is first. That's the first sense that it tingles. And then your eyes just see the bush. They see the hair everywhere. Uh-huh. and you're like, oh my God, I'm scared. But because all of this has hit me at once, it's very exciting and I have to move forward.
I would argue that the smell factor is as soon as two people, right?
Yeah, but you don't see it because you're already in it. It's like when you try to cook a frog or a lobster, you can't throw them into the hot water. You got to put them in the water and then turn it on, and then it slowly boils.
I get that, but like if you were third person walking into two people having sex, the smell would still be the first thing to hit you. But you bring up this group sex terminology, and I think group sex, that is an interesting wrinkle to this whole thing, where I feel like there has to be a difference between group sex and an orgy. And I like Nick's kind of idea.
Because you're figuring group sex is couples coming in and not necessarily
organized. Yeah, people are like, we're getting specific people here for a group sex. Whereas I feel like orgy says, I think this could get out of hand and the cops have to get called. Yeah. It's like Project X where the whole neighborhood's fucking all of a sudden.
Great
and then
movie.
Like 2 days later, people go, what happened? And you're just like, I don't know. I just mob mentality.
The cop walks in and he's like, hey, I'm ready to break this up. Pulls on his pants, fucking 13-inch ding dong. Oh, yeah,
just big old hog comes out. Snowbike might get scared.
God damn it!
You sure, you don't want us to title the show that. You sure, you don't want us to title the show scared. What I think.
No, definitely gonna text them. Definitely gonna text them.
God, you're such a pussy, dude. I don't know. I definitely think it has to be five and up. I think five and up is an orgy.
But why not four?
I think four is a small orgy, but an orgy.
What is the definition of orgy?
Guys, we're at the lake pond. Sort of
exactly. It's in the eye of the beholder. It's in the eye of the beholder on this one, you know?
So is sex just a puddle? That doesn't seem fun.
Yeah.
It's like a ray trace puddle, you know?
All right. Here's the thing. This is the definition as according to a Google dictionary. A wild party, especially one involving excessive drinking and unrestrained sexual activity.
Nice.
Can you have a party with a wild party with five people?
Hold on, no. What's this? The definition?
Orgy.
Dude, unrestrained. That's a great word.
That's a great word.
Yeah, I think that's key because that means that it's one of those everything goes, the consent's at the door. Man. It is everybody can do anything to anyone. Safe words, all that stuff. But like, we're here, we're doing this. Whereas I feel like
when you went to a sex club. Mm-hmm. What sort of did you see? Did you see group sex? Did you see threesomes? Did you see orgies?
Oh,
there wasn't any orgies happening. Okay, there was more than anything. There was couples or three people in separate groups that might have been in the same room, but I wouldn't have called it an orgy. And I think that's because these unrestrained rules that Nick's talking about.
Wow,
exactly. Like one of these women couldn't just pop over to the other couple and just be like, here I am, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think group sex requires there to be a level of organization and some rules, maybe a meeting beforehand to discuss the boundaries. Orgy, I just feel like no holds barred. Obviously need consent, but once people are just feel more liberated in that kind of an environment,
like whatever hole it's in, it's fine.
If there's a winky, I'm gonna touch it.
There
it's
it is.
Be okay.
So I guess I guess we don't really have we didn't come to a consensus here.
For sure, you're not having I don't think there's been a wedding in history where a mass orgy has broken out. I just don't think that's going
to
be a possibility.
Oh yeah, there has been. There has to have been.
No fucking way.
Nana goes to bed and then you get it on.
Maybe like somebody
that much booze.
But that's I imagine a wedding and an orgy is like the kids. There's no kids there. Lock the doors, and then everyone's just Boom. God, oh that's a smell.
Yeah, let the air kind of
like there definitely is because everybody's all that weddings are for these single people.
Someone just rang my doorbell, so I have to see what that's about.
Unlimited alcohol, and there's a DJ and there's a dance floor.
Right.
There's like more excuses than normal. There's a dance floor that's not like a bar dance floor, right? It's not like there's like when you go to a bar and there's a dance floor. There's usually not people dancing. And then people start dancing, and it takes a lot of people for that to then become cool. Otherwise, there's just people that are there that you don't want to be a part of, right? If you go to a dance club, that's a whole separate thing that has its own separate issues and own separate vibe. A wedding feels much more intimate and personal, and everyone's on the dance floor. Everyone's having fun. The rules are a little bit grayer. it's like there doesn't necessarily need to be as strict of a opening line. You can just be there. The YMCA is playing.
Oh yeah, you're dancing with everyone.
You make eye contact with someone that you think's a cutie. You pop up that Y, you pop up that M, and then all of a sudden they're like, orgy.
He gets the D.
Yeah. Now, and let me ask you guys this question. How important is dancing at a wedding? And follow-up question, have you ever been to a wedding where they try to get the dancing started and it just never happens?
I haven't, it's really sad. Which is impressive because it definitely could have at multiple. But no, it always ends up popping off for me. And I think dancing
is important. Extremely
important.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where it's heartbreaking that I can't do it. You know what I mean? I've said this to his face and I'll tell him anytime I need to, and I'll say it here again. Like, I see the images of Josh McCouga working a wedding. He puts them up on Instagram, and obviously they're all, you know, throwback Thursdays and whatnots now. And you look at it and you're just like, man, if we had the technology to go to Wikipedia and put up a page called Life of the Party, it'd be a photo of Josh McCouga because he's out there. He's got the jacket off, the suspenders on. He's doing something crazy. He's doing the worm or whatever. And people are like, this guy is fun personified. And whereas I think I fake it till you make it on that kind of thing on a very specific route, Josh doesn't seem to fake it at all. He just seems like a joyous person. You know, I've never met somebody who I thought was starring in Big Two more than Josh McCouga.
Yeah.
He seems like a 7 to 9 year old that wish he was a grown man and now is. And he's like, this is great. I'm going to go to the bar all the time. And then he just somehow keeps fucking failing upwards and being amazing and hilarious and charming and funny. And like, there's not a mean bone in his body. He's got terrible taste in movies. Like, there's something magical about him. And that's the kind of person you want on the dance floor. You don't want me out there lumbering around, unable to do anything, feeling like a moron. I like a good slow dance. I like a good Lady in Red, and then I like to get the fuck off the floor.
Lady in Red, great song.
Yeah.
I picture, McCouga going off at a party, and then I picture in a very Michael Scott fashion, Nick Scarpino wanting to match that. And Nick Scarpino kind of jealous of the attention that Josh McCook is getting.
I could see it going either way.
You're so right, Andy. You're so right. But I will say, I want to give a very random shout out to Nick Scarpino, when he dances, it always impresses me. I am always like, that's better than it should be.
He's got rhythm. He
not be able to move the way that he's moving right now.
I always default to the Hitch. You remember that movie Hitch? The Hitch.
Oh, yeah.
Where he goes just 10 and 2 and just move. Just move. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is move around a little bit. No one's going to judge you at a wedding. I always feel like that's the best place to practice the dancing because everyone's silly. Everyone's having a fun time. You know, we're all friends here.
Let me say the match. There will be judgment, but.
But it's great.
Don't worry about it.
That's reserved for when you're on the walk back to your hotel room.
Yeah.
Where you turn to your plus one that you've been with at least for 6+ months because of some draconian rules on who you can bring to this fucking thing. You're like, oh, that was great. Do you see how bad Greg was at dancing? Oh my God, he was terrible. And then you're on to the next thing. The kid who fucking put his hand in the cake.
I think when you're drunk, when you're feeling it, like, who gives a shit, man? That's like, we're all vibing
I've been drunk a lot and I've never felt it. You know what I mean? And I've pushed the boundaries of alcohol consumption and I've never felt it. Where I'm like, yes. This makes sense. This, I get dancing. I see why we're doing this.
I guess since I feel like I'm not bad at dancing.
Sure.
If I see somebody who's not good at dancing, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. We're all partying anyway. Who gives a shit? Sure. Like, I don't know.
But do you ever also look around while you're dancing and be like, this is such a waste of time and energy. Why am I doing this?
No.
That's how I feel. Or especially when I watch you fuckers dance. Especially when I'm out there jumping up. Of course she does.
And like, that doesn't do anything for you?
Bouncing back and forth or whatever. Well, no, I like watching my wife do things.
No, but I mean, like, when you're dancing with her. No, that's not what I mean.
Danced with my wife. Is that what you mean, you pervert?
When you're dancing with your wife, like, isn't that, like, fun? And, like, you kind of forget that, like, you look like an idiot?
No, because I'm like, doing this. I'm like, look at me rocking back and forth. Like, Frank is, and I don't mind it. Keep in mind, this isn't me going, oh, man, somebody's going to judge me. I chose to look like this and act like this. I am judged every day, and that's fine. I've chose this life. To be out there, though, it's just this thing of like, there's very few things we do on this earth where I am in the middle of doing them and I feel like an alien, where I'm like, what do the humans see in this stupid ritual? Why are they doing this? You know what I mean? Line dancing, chicken dancing, YMCAs, just regular dancing, just bopping to the music. You know what I mean? The electric slide, except for Lady in Red. That one gets a pass.
That one gets you.
Yeah, I guess I don't judge because I've never seen anybody who's been bad at dancing try to be the star of the show.
Sure, of course,
And try to get in the middle and say, everybody look at me, and it'd be bad. Because in that case, then I'd be like, man, I was like, what were they thinking doing that?
Sure.
Like, but sure, most of the time, it's like people that are good, people that are bad, and we're all kind of mixed together, just doing our thing. We're just, you know, just fucking feeling the vibe. Whenever I think of Nick dancing, I think of the episode in Party Mode where we played Mario Party. Got up and taunted Joey. Like, I always think of that one. So
good. Yeah, that was a fun one.
I'm with you, Greg, to the extent of like, every time I do it, no matter how many times it's happened, I'm always like, I know this isn't right. I wish that I was better. I wish that I understood this. I don't understand how I can be so good at rhythm games and so bad at rhythm dancing. I don't have control of my body that way. But it's like, I still enjoy the idea of like, I guess that's the difference between me and you here, is like, I enjoy throwing my hands up when a song tells me to throw my hands up.
Throw your hands up.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of all these things.
Since an early age, I was told that I marched to the beat of my own drummer, and I've been proud of it. So I don't want to listen to anybody tell me to throw my hands up or do the Tootsie Roll, all right? Do what I want.
Since we're talking about Greg Miller dancing, I do need to bring up one thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Something that reminds me about Tootsie Rolls. More joy than I ever have in my entire life.
Wow.
Is your dance at Kinda Funny Live 2. When we're in the aerobic outfits.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
And yes. And you do this thing with your hands. My camera's too zoomed in to do it. But like, everyone, go watch KFL2 right now and watch the aerobic bit.
Watch the whole thing.
It just brings her. It's
where I undo the straps of my thing and show my nips.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That whole bit, fucking just loves
it. Well, you remember the story behind it. It's what, like, it's that thing of, again, like how alien dancing and moving your body rhythmically is to me. And I will never, ever, ever forget it. There's been two times in our professional careers, and I mean spanning the 13 years of knowing each other, where Nick got mad at me and then realized it was out of my hands, that I wasn't doing this as a bit. Number one was that time he got forced to film me try to use PSP Skype at work. And I had to do it like 15 times. And at the last time, I just started laughing so hard. And you can't hear him, but the video's still up there, where it's like Greg loses it or whatever. And I start laughing, and Nick puts down the camera, and I goes, and in real life, he went, "Come on, man, get it together," thinking I was fucking with him. And then he saw that I could not stop laughing, and he picked the camera back up and just filmed me fucking hysterically laughing. He's trying to talk to Mark Ryan on Skype. And the other one was, when we're getting ready for Kinda Funny Live 2. We're going to do the aerobics thing. D and Nick had worked out a routine. And so we went to the studio before it was the studio. It was before we announced it. But it was just the empty room where we had now the desk is. But at the time, it was nothing. Just a giant empty room. And we started doing it. And it was the exact same thing where I was like, at the beginning, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, I'll do what I can for you guys, but I'm not. And he's like, all right, whatever. And then I started doing it. And he's like, all right, well, we can simplify it. And he simplified it. And I couldn't do it. And he simplified it. He couldn't do it. And you could see Nick getting mad. And then finally, he's just like, you're doing what you can. It's fine. So that's why they put me at the end, so that when you guys had already done your synchronized everything, I just could get up there and do whatever the fuck I needed to and get out.
It was great. So
do you remember he kept stomping and clapping louder to help you? And it just kept getting louder and louder.
It did not help whatsoever. Yeah. It was very much Mr. Holland's Opus when he's pounding on that guy's football helmet, and it was just not.
Similar to that, I remember KFL3 when Greg, you're going to be part of the boy orgy bit.
No.
And then you walked in, and it was already a long week. We were tired and shit. Yeah. And you saw us rehearsing the Backstreet Boys thing, and you're like, do I need to be a part of this?
Yeah.
And we're like, no, you don't have to. And you're like, all right, good.
Because I can't do that. That's the last thing I need on my fucking mind right now.
And that was a direct reaction to me, that realization the year prior, where I was like, Greg does not like this. We should not force Greg to do this. It's not necessary. And you walked in, you were like, so, and I was like, you don't have to do this. You're like, great, bye. See, it wasn't even like a thanks. It was like a cool, bye. That was it.
We understood. We're on the same page, right? Yeah, like, I'll do whatever I can for this company and you, my friends, but goddamn, there's some things I just can't do.
That's totally fair.
Look at Tim. What's he doing? I want to know about these trunks he's wearing. Lucy, don't look over here.
Don't look over here, Luce.
I see her. First off, 15 minutes of crumpling paper bags back there. Then she's going to eyeball me. She can eyeball me as she walks by.
I don't know what it's like in your household, but I really can't imagine anyone sympathizing with you over Lucy. I just
Tim, what are these shorts you're wearing? They look like wrestling trunks. I like
little
them.
Dickie.
Little Dickie shorts.
Ah.
Let me see your little piece of leaky Dickie shorts. Let me see them.
Call Snowbike Mike for his little Dickie.
Let's not start this.
Oh man, no, the train's way out of the station on this. Yeah, yeah, it's not a real thing. Yeah, they look those like wrestling great. Shorts. They those look like great. If he was going to go to the ring, like Brock Lesnar.
I have to ask a kind of funny audience. This is not a joke that you can make to Snowbike Mike.
Do not.
It's going to get overblown. Like every joke we do, and it's going to fucking get old.
It's not a positive. Honestly, the real reason why I'm not worried about it, but I do. Feel like we should say because it's just not a positive joke. It's not fun. That was just stupid.
So it was a normal black hole thing. No, you've handled it fine. Everybody understands.
I just wanted to do the callback.
I appreciate it. Callbacks are great, Andy. You can never pass up a good callback.
I feel like whenever somebody does do a callback, like I respect them. I respect that. You know,
they remember.
It's a good move.
Yeah.
It's like when you're watching Christopher Nolan movies, you're like, wow, good thinking. Wow,
he brought back Scarecrow. Cool.
Good thinking, Chris.
Cool. We got to go to Dunkirk.
Glad he did that one. Yeah.
Dunkirk.
My dad texted me and was like, "What the fuck? Nobody liked Dunkirk?" And I'm like, I guess not, Dad. I was alone.
We didn't like it. We just respect it. Yeah,
I was surprised by the amount of people offended that we didn't like it. But if this was in the beaches of Normandy, you'd love it. And then, you should read your history to know. But I'm like, I don't like other war movies either. It's not that I don't like British war movies. I just don't like war movies, except for Pearl Harbor,
honey.
Except for Pearl Harbor.
Great. Ben Affleck, are you kidding me? Batman. Batman's out there. Batman. Fuck and then off. All right, I'll be quiet about it. Let's end with somewhat of a simple one. You all need to think of one question. All right. And here it comes. Grant Burton writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can to be part of the show, and says, you somehow find out Santa Claus is real.
Oh.
He's a busy guy. Okay? So you only have time to ask him one question. What do you ask?
Oh, easy. Where you been?
What do you mean?
I've known so many parents that are fucking actually doing this shit, standing up for his bitch ass, trying to fake it so that he gets all the credit.
Right.
Exactly. He's not actually giving presents to anybody. I'm 31 years old. Not a single time have I got an actual present from Santa.
Okay. Well, then. I mean, that's sort of refuting the fact that Santa Claus exists, which in this story, he does exist.
No, but if he exists, there's the
proof. What else is Santa Claus doing?
Is that your question?
No. I was going to say, I want to see the North Pole. Take me there.
That's good. I feel like the North Pole is the
question.
It's been explored.
Take me there.
Fly me.
What does the North Pole look like, thinking he'll take you there? He's just like, it's snowy. All right, bye.
He just shows you a picture on his iPhone.
He's like, I'm worried that he would be like, that's not like, I'm not going to take, because if it was like, hey, could you take me to the North Pole? Can I get a tour of your facilities? And he'd probably say no. And I'd rather just circumvent that. I'd be like, oh yeah, take me there.
That's you not said how I get it works, one wish, though. Like it's not, Kevin, he's not saying you get a one wish.
Kevin, in Tim's fucking scenario, he doesn't exist.
No, in Tim's scenario,
he does exist. He just isn't doing his job.
Yeah, why did he stop doing his job?
He's saying that Tim finds out Santa Claus is real right now, and that so that you're in our world right now, and that, so then Tim's offended that parents have written from Santa on presents for years, and Santa hasn't actually given us presents.
Yeah, but then that.
By the way, if you have children listening, turn it off so they don't understand Santa's fake.
Yeah, but I guess my issue with that is in that's like saying
you might have done it at the orgy part, I guess, or the fuck face part at the beginning. But
I found out that the tooth fairy isn't real. So I'm gonna ask her, how come my parents have been giving me money for her tooth? Well, then what's the point of the tooth fairy existing if she's not doing the thing?
That's the question.
That's what I'm asking.
We just found out Santa is real, Andy. What the fuck is he doing? Does he do anything?
I bet you his response is like, oh man, all these kids suck, and then has all these like crazy rules that like everyone is breaking all the time.
Yeah, humanity's a plague.
Wow.
Because I feel like there's definitely kids out there that their parents never admitted to them, or they never found out empirical proof that Santa didn't buy them the fucking presents, but I saw my mom's bank account after she got me the Ninja Turtles Under the Sewer playset.
Sure.
Dude, that set was dope.
Huge. It was fucking dope. It was fucking dope. Was it worth putting us into poverty? I'm not sure.
Yes.
I appreciate she did it, but like, I can guarantee you Santa fucking didn't.
And if now, I saw here's that the man, other thing about it. Like, Santa's a cool idea, but Santa, oh, the elves make all the toys. I don't want some educational woodblock bullshit toy made by an elf. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason you don't think
their technology gets better?
No, I don't. And I want it from Mattel. I want it from Kenner. I want the real things. I don't want
the Keebler elves. I want the Kenner elves.
There's nothing worse than your parents were taking you somewhere and like, oh, there's a toy store next to the store we're going. Great. And you get there and it's like fucking all the independent crap toys. You go in there, it's got like the hobby horse, and it's like, here's the slinky, and here's this plastic thing you expand. Here's how you make molecules. Like, oh my God.
It's boring. Just
drive me to the library, why don't you?
You got to assume that like these elves, like the unemployment rate on these elves has got to be sky high because they're just not making good shit anymore, dude.
Totally.
And it's like, and Santa's like, you know, he's like, I need the government to bail me out. I need money to go in here. And it's like, yeah, but look at the shit you're making, dude. Give me a fucking Game Boy, you know? Like, right. I totally get you. In the Santa movies, they were always making shitty toys, dude.
I'm still just gobsmacked that this is something parents still do to their children. And it's supposed to come from like a place of goodness for some reason, but why is there a need for the Tooth Fairy? Why is there a need for the Easter Bunny? Why is there a need for Santa? Inevitably, you're just putting off the inevitable disappointment when you have to break it to that kid, or more importantly, when their friends break it to them that they're dumbasses for still believing in Santa. You're just asking your kid to be embarrassed and shamed at some point. Why do parents do it? Why not? It's just
imagination. The imagination of kids is percolating, man. Let them enjoy some life and magic.
When I was a kid, I was like, I don't give a fuck who's giving me the present. I just want the present. That's all that matters. I'm a dumb kid.
But like,
I don't believe in magic.
I feel like you're missing out on a key thing here, though, Nick, where it's like there's the idea of this character and this fun thing to believe in, and being able to watch like the weird claymation specials, like having a character for these times, you know, like all the holiday specials, like having Santa be a character and Frosty and all this shit. Like, kids love that stuff. I love that stuff.
Kids are going to love that stuff, no matter what.
Here's my question, though, is like, does anyone here actually know a kid that like was actually heartbroken when he found out Santa wasn't real?
Oh, I'm sure you can find multiple videos.
I'm sure you could, but like, I've never heard about it.
Well, I mean, there are kids that, I mean, I don't ever remember really believing it. That's true. But I'm sure there are kids who are like, Santa's totally real. And then someone in like junior high is like, you're a fucking idiot. And that kid's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And your parents are like, no. Meanwhile, your parents are fucking. And by the way, all this shit is because parents want to feel like they're kids again. 90% of the shit that happens is so parents can quote unquote relive their childhood. And meanwhile, the kids are just like, just give me the G.I. Joe. I want it. That's all. This is a negotiation. Otherwise, I put my hand right through that fucking cake at the next wedding. But there's got to be one kid who's just like, his parents just never had the heart to tell him, and they're just like, sorry, buddy, but there's like, no Santa. And he's like, I'm 45 years old. How did I not know this?
I gotta figure it's because I swear I believed in Santa at one point. I just don't remember the point where I stopped believing in it. I remember the point that I feel like it's just part of your growth that you just kind of figure out that, you know what, Tim, that's my growth for this episode. I discovered that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Yeah.
I just feel like it's a weird thing. I feel that's a weird trick parents play on the kids. I don't understand why it exists. I know it has something to do with the magic of Christmas, but like, I don't know.
No. Nick, it's a very good way to say like, yes, we will discipline you children if you misbehave or whatever, but Santa's watching, and if you fuck up, you're not going to get that shit you want.
Sure.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're awake.
Right. That's terrifying for children. So FYI, right off the bat, you're saying like there's an omnipotent being who looks like a crazy old man who only wears one outfit his entire life and hangs out with small elves and deers. And he's going to, at some point, you don't know when, he will be coming down the chimney into your room or someone else's room to put presents there. So just fucking watch out. Meanwhile,
you have a good idea.
Yeah, you know basically when he's coming. It's, you know, the day, the night.
You don't know what. It's a good point. Very good point.
He warned you.
Maybe
he's dropping his shit off in February. Who knows?
I don't like how anti-Santa you are. And I hope
I'm anti all these things. I just think they're silly. Greg hit the nail on the head. It's 100% so that parents.
I love you so much.
It's 100% so parents can discipline their kids. And I'm like, why don't you just tell your kid, I'm not getting you anything for Christmas if you misbehave? Wouldn't that just be better, straightforward? And then you can just take them to Disneyland and pretend like they're enjoying it. It's fine.
But then your kid's going to end up being
a pragmatist,
the type of kid that you talk like when you act like when you were a kid. Like, it's just going to be Nick Scarpino on a Kind of Funny podcast imitating what Nick was talking to his grandma, like, which is one of my favorite things you do. Like, you just act like you're you, but little. It's like the funniest thing. And that's what happens when you don't have Santa.
Greg, to answer your question, I would ask Santa what he wears during the summer months. And in my brain, it's the same outfit, but it's a romper. And he zips it down a little bit and just shows the belly button a little bit.
I appreciate that, like, one of the things we've come back to now twice is that you think Santa just wears the same outfit all the time.
What do you think he's doing? You think he has multiple costume changes?
You understand that when the postman goes home or has the day off, he's not wearing the uniform, right?
Show me one picture. Show me one picture you've ever seen of Santa. First off, Santa and Jesus always wore the exact same thing.
The Santa
Jesus wore the loincloth, and Santa was always in the red, man.
He's always in red.
It's not like Batman where he's like, I got my winter coat. I got my water outfit. I got my water costume with my water cloak.
That's the thing. I've seen Santa in the red bathing suit. Like, that ain't news.
That's missing, bro.
With the polar bears, the Coca-Cola polar bears
bathing suit.
No, put it in the Slack. I don't believe
it. There it is. See, right there.
There it is.
You know what I mean? As clear as fucking day.
Find any man.
The big man, Santa. This is coming to General. Sorry, blessing. There you go. That's what he looks like.
Anti-Santi.
Anti-Santi Nick Scarpino over here. You know what I mean? Not understanding that Santa can be whatever. He can wear what he needs to wear when he needs to wear it.
So he probably wear a romper then in my brain. I like to think of him like, you know what I'm talking about, Tim? Where it's like shorts match the shirt, but it's just one zipper all the way up. And as the night goes on and the heat and then the sweat starts happening, that zipper gets lower and lower. And there's just an impossible
amount of white connected tufts of hair. A romper, much like the second image that they sent us. It's not just matches.
That's why Google gets in one zip to rule them all. It's a romper. And when you want to get out of that, you got to take the whole thing off.
I just Googled Santa romper.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I'm seeing right now.
I want to be with you.
Just do it. Go for it.
Santa romper.
I think we'll all get the same results.
Probably. But oh, yeah.
There's a combination of like some of the most beautiful women you'll ever see in the most ridiculous outfits, but then also just like a bunch of people that look exactly like Barrett Courtney.
Yeah.
Just in this little fucking romper. It's why awesome. Why did I look like
Barrett? That's weird. Barrett just has that look. A young man. Barrett's got an
attractive model body we've talked about for a long time.
It's true. It's ideal.
I don't think we can say that on air, guys. I don't think we can say that on air. Just saying.
That Barrett looks like a model?
No, he's got that little attractive body that we've talked about a lot.
I said model body. I'm saying he's got the perfect body for modeling.
This is the one I was talking about.
It feels it's scary when you're digging yourself a hole, right, Greg? It's really terrifying.
I don't have to apologize to Barrett for saying he's got a model body.
That's
all right.
Fair. That's
this kid is terrifying.
That's not Kev. Can you show this kid?
Oh, see, for God. All you know, Nick, he's a kid. Santa's a kid. You
that's even know. Scarier. You know that
where his superpowers come from?
Oh, that kid's terrifying. Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Barrett Courtney. Not the kid, obviously. Other thing, Tim.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Barrett looked like that when he was a kid. We don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather around this table, each coming to bullshit around about bullshit. If you like that bullshit, turn your kids off and turn on this podcast. You can get it on patreon.com/kindoffunny each and every week. Of course, on Patreon, you can get it ad-free. You can watch it live as we record it. You can catch the post show we are about to do. You can also be part of the show with your questions and oh so much more. Hey, for just $1, you get the exclusive show Gregway on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Yes, though, there will be ads, and no, there won't be a post show. Only at patreon.com/kindoffunny can you get the bonuses like the post show we're about to do. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, Nick is Auntie Santy, and it's been our pleasure to serve you.